This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm so delighted to welcome back someone who's been on our show before 5 years ago. This is season 7. That was way back in the studio at Zoomer at Liberty Village. And of course, she is a national treasure. Little hint, she used to report traffic from a pink helicopter. And now she's back again with a brand new television series called Trailblazing Talks. And of course, I'm talking about the iconic and the incredible Deanie Petty. And this is so exciting because next week on the program, we'll have on the executive producer of Trailblazing Talks, Kate Campbell. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Deanie Petty. Familiar to Canadian viewers through her 10 years as host of the highly successful national daily talk show on CTV, The Deanie Petty Show, she really became known as Canada's Oprah. Before CTV, Deanie's 10 years at City TV, Deanie set precedence as the award-winning anchor of Toronto City TV and host of an innovative talk show that really set Canadian broadcast records for the size of its viewing audience. Deanie won many awards for her documentary work at City TV as a writer and as a host on City TV Pulse News at 6, where Deanie, if you remember, co-anchored and reported. And then in 1980, Deanie created television history when the camera followed her, I remember this, through the pregnancy and birth of her son, Nicholas. And this award-winning doc really helped to demystify and break down the stigma of pregnancy and childbirth. And going the distance was nothing new for Deanie, who has 5,000 hours accumulated as pilot in command of a Pink Hughes 300 helicopter, making her the first woman in aviation history to pilot a helicopter while simultaneously reporting on traffic. Deanie has many commercials made for TV films and roles on the big screen, even a recent one, Boundless, which we'll talk about. She's the recipient of 6 Cannes Pro Awards for television excellence for her talk show and documentary work, 4 Gemini Awards for her interviewing skills, the NatP International Iris Award, an American Award for Best International Program. I could go on and on for that famous interview with Red Skelton and the Canadian Distinction Award. In 1982, Deanie was recognized for her years of public service by the Royal General Bulb Growers Association of the Netherlands, and had a Triumph tulip named after her. I love that. Wow, that's so great. Deanie became the spokesperson for an international aid organization encouraging Canadians to sponsor children in third world countries. She hosted a documentary that was centered around her trip to Romania to meet her sponsored child. And the documentary infomercial quickly became the single most successful fundraiser of the Christian Children's Fund that they'd ever done. Deanie's acted as a spokesperson for Amnesty International, the Canadian infomercial she hosted to raise funds and increase membership, and it's become one of the most successful ever in Canada and the U.S. Deanie helped to found the Youth Pregnancy Phone in line in her early days at City TV. When the funding ended, it was refunded and continues to this very day, you'll all know this, under a new name, the Kids Help Phone, Canada's only free national, bilingual, confidential, and anonymous 24-hour telephone and online counseling service for kids up to 20 years of age. Deanie also wrote a children's book that's become an instant bestseller, The Queen, the Bear, and the Bumblebee. An epic piece of poetry, Deanie is now preparing her next book, a collection of her poetry. And over the last several years, she's put together a one-woman play that she toured all across Canada, A Broad View. And she's also toured her second one-woman show, Men and Other Furry Creatures. But there's something very new and exciting that she's doing now. She is back with a brand new television series at age 80. And I just think that makes us all, especially in the Zoomer audience here, feel very empowered and very inspired. Deanie, welcome back to Finding Your Bliss and congratulations on all of this.
Thank you. After listening to you, I thought, no wonder I'm tired.
I've been busy. The last time I saw you, Deany, was in Zoomer Studios, as mentioned, in Liberty Village. We had a fabulous in-person interview, and here we are now, 5 years later, and you've done it again. You're back with your brand new series, Trailblazing Talks, at the young age of 80. Aren't you fantastic? Really? So great to see you again. Before we hear about all the exciting things about your new TV series, I'd love to go back and tell our listeners some really cool things that we found out about you in preparing for this show. Like, for one, I love the fact that your mom, Molly Petty, was the owner of the first talent agency in the city of Toronto. And that wonderful story that you tell in your introductory episode of Trailblazing Talks about how you were literally plucked out of a lineup to be the lead in a National Film Board of Canada film, even though you'd never acted before in your entire life. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, my mother, Molly Petty, produces services. And for the first year, she had her office down on Sherbourne Street. And I went there after a dental appointment to wait for my mom so we could go home. So I'm sitting there and they're casting for a 13-year-old. I was big for my age. So there were girls there around my age. The director, Don Haldane, came out, went to the washroom, came back and said, "Who's that girl?" "Oh, it's my daughter. She's not an actress. I want her to read Dawn. She's not, I want her to, I got the part." They shot it at my school. So the big night comes and I'm going to be in the lead role in a National Film Board film on television. You can imagine how excited I was. But for those of you who aren't in the business, if you're going to do a film, you don't often get the whole script. You get your part. And sometimes they can add a voiceover or something afterwards. So there I am. The film, literally within the first minute, it opens. It's black and white. I'm asleep in bed. My dad yells, "Sylvia, get up, get up." My mother yells, "Sylvia, you got to go to school." I sit up and I yawn. And then they put in this voiceover from this deep bass voice says, "Ordinary looking little girl, isn't she?" Oh. I remember sitting there in the air going out of my lovely balloon. I'm like, what? I made the mistake of showing that film to my children. And for many years, when I come downstairs, either Samantha or Nick would go, "Ordinary looking little girl, isn't she?"
Which, of course, you're not. Oh, my God. What a great story. I also love the story of how your friend, Peggy Clarkson, changed your life when you were having lunch together and you got a little tap on the shoulder and this man said to you, I mean, this is like, you know, Lana Turner at the soda shop said to you, "How would you like to be the girl in the pink helicopter?" And those words really ended up changing your life and catapulting you into the entertainment industry, right? In a huge way. Can you tell us what happened? Because that is very auspicious.
Okay, well, the story begins with a model who worked, my mom moved her office to the front room of our house. One of our top models and a writer and Canada's champion skydiver. Google the name Daryl Henry, Skydiving Hall of Fame. He was so handsome. And I pick up this 8x10 of a guy in free fall. The phone rings. I answer it. Producer services. It's him. "Daryl, what are you doing?" "Oh, well, we do this and we are here in Goodwood. Would you like to come?" "Oh, yeah, Daryl, I'd love to." He was the first great love of my life. I jumped out of an airplane 55 times and I was never very good and I never relaxed, but Daryl kept saying, "No, no, you'll relax, you'll get it." I finally gave it up. But when I was working for Dean Peterson, friend of my parents who owned Canada's first, one of the first production companies, he produced and directed the first television commercial that was made in this country. But he closed the doors. I'm out of a job. So Peggy, who'd been one of our top models, this gorgeous redhead, said, "I'm going to buy you lunch. I'm paying." I said, "I'm in, Peggy." She pulls up in her Robin A. blue convertible with white leather, this gorgeous woman we want to Castle George, and we're having lunch. And three guys came in from CKY Radio. At that time, traffic reports were done from helicopters. In each one, there was a guy who flew and a guy who reported, except at CKY, where Bob Carter did both. Now, there's a lot of money around, and the stations are buying their second helicopter. There's a war. 3 weeks before this luncheon, they have a big meeting, and Harvey Clark, God bless you, Harvey Clark, walked in the meeting and said, "I know how we're going to win the war, boys. We're going to find a girl. We're going to put her up in a pink helicopter. She's going to wear pink. We're going to get her a pink car. She's going to fly and report. Go find her." Meanwhile, back at the luncheon at Castle George, when the three guys walked in, Peggy and I knew Tommy. And Tommy knew I'd done some skydiving. He didn't know how lousy I was. He just knew I'd done it. So in the course of their lunch, their problem comes up. Where are we going to find a girl to fly this? And Tommy looked over and he said, "See that girl? That's Deanie Petty. Now, I know she's crazy enough to jump out of an airplane. Maybe she's crazy enough to fly a helicopter. And I swear to you, Judy, this is every word is the truth." As he's walking to our table, Peggy said, "So, Dean, what are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know, Peggy. I can't be a secretary." This is long before computers. I can't spell. "But I want to be challenged. I want to use my brains." And there was a tap on my shoulder. And I looked up and I heard the words that changed my life. "How'd you like to be the girl in the pink helicopter?" Sure. But when I arrived at the heliport at age 23, I'd never flown. I never even wanted to be a pilot. There were about 30 men, and there was one girl who answered the phone at the heliport. And they all had a pool on how long I was going to last because they didn't think I could do it.
Wow.
So 5,000 hours later, they all lost that bet because it turned out I'm a natural helicopter pilot. Now, where's the test from the guidance counselor that says, "Oh, look, you want to go fly a helicopter"?
What do you think made you so great at that job? Are you just fearless and you're just up for anything?
Well, because I'd done some skydiving, I was used to getting into a small Cessna where they take up the co-pilot seat and three of us cram in. So I was used to being in a small thing, going up to, you know, about the same height that I would fly the helicopter from. So I go up with Bob Carter to have a look at this. And I realized after being up there for 2 hours, all I had to do was figure out what all those streets were called below, figure out how to do a traffic report. Yes. I could talk on the two-way to all three control towers that have to go through their zones. I could talk to the other pilots, and I had to learn how to fly. That's all. And at that moment, a little helicopter flew past, and Bob said, "That's the helicopter you're going to fly." And my heart sank. How am I going to do all this? But everything has a pattern to it.
Yeah.
And very slowly and not very surely sometimes, I started putting all the pieces together. And it takes 100 hours to get your commercial license. So I was living in a helicopter. I had a guy flying around. I was 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night, an hour in the afternoon, and about a year later, I was a commercially licensed helicopter pilot.
You're something. I got to tell you, you're just something else, Deanie Petty. You're unbelievable. So you do this, which is phenomenal in itself. That could have been the end of the story, and that would have been fabulous. But then you were able to parlay that little job where you spent over 5,000 hours reporting on traffic from your pink helicopter into a job at City Pulse News, which really was part of the trajectory that would change your life. Can you tell us how you made the leap from the pink helicopter into that very exciting and vibrant City TV newsroom?
Okay, what you have to understand is I have 5,000 hours flying time. In each hour, I did six traffic reports. That's 30,000 traffic reports in which I either said, "The Parkway northbound is stop and go to the Blue Viaduct," or, "Wait, there's more. The Gardner westbound is stop and go." And then 4,000 hours, I thought, I have to get out of this job.
Yeah.
Flying is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I love flight and being a pilot. But I can't keep doing this. So I quit. People told me I was crazy. And you know what? I owe it all to Moses and Imer, because I called Moses and I said, "You ought to hire me." And Moses laughed and said, "Why?" And people knew who I was because I get, you know, garnered some fame. And he hired me. And
my
first interview was so bad. Okay, I'm interviewing Patrick McNee, who was a brilliant English actor and star of a series called The Avengers.
Yeah.
And I go into the studio and I'm really nervous. I'm thinking, yeah, it's live TV, Dean. You're supposed to be nervous. I got all the questions in my head. I asked the first question and I froze, startled deer in headlights. Patrick McNee is a very kind man. And he leaned over and he touched me on the knee and he said, "I know. You want to know about the play I'm in?" "Yeah, tell me about the play you're in." The whole freaking interview on live TV was like him tapping me on the knee. "I know. You want to know about my family?" "Yeah, tell me about your family." I don't know why they didn't fire me, but they kept me. And it was a tough start. A guy who was a big director wrote a big article in the I can't remember, it was probably the star about all the women in television, and in last place, the least personality, the most unattractive, and absolutely no future in the business, is yours truly.
Oh, God. Dee Dee Petty went on to have over 20 years as a national talk show host of her very own show, The Dee Dee Petty Show, which, yes, yours truly was on as a consumer reporter. Best job ever on your show.
Yes, yes.
Quitting smoking because of you, to my family to this day loves you and thanks you for helping me quit smoking on the air. But yes, you did. You launched a national television series out of that called The Dee Dee Petty Show, which was just made you a household name, a household face, because you were in everyone's living rooms 5 days a week from coast to coast on national television. I remember that CFTO studios so well, where it started. Here's a promo for the Dee Dee Petty Show from 1989, right around the time that I was the consumer reporter on the show. Let's roll that clip.
Issues, views, news, and tips you can use, all coming your way on the Dee Dee Petty Show. We have practical advice on home decorating, fashion, how to do your part for the environment, understanding relationships, and trying to figure out why people do the things they do, all on the Dee Dee Petty Show.
Wow, that just takes me back to the music, to all of it. What a great time that was. You interviewed huge stars, Dee Dee, and up-and-comers, including people like Maya Angelou and Carol Burnett, good Lord, Joni Mitchell and Harrison Ford and Michael Caine and Sarah Ferguson. It was heady stuff and a thrilling time. And I know there were many fascinating moments, because I was even there for some of them. I remember being in the green room with the author of The Prince of Tides. I loved that guy. I remember that so well. And he said, "What are you here for?" And I said, "I'm quitting smoking on national television." He was very sweet. But was there an interview or interviews? And I know there's many, and you're asked this all the time, but is there one or two that just really stands out as an absolute epiphany for you?
My favorite, my all-time favorite, and the greatest privilege of my career was Red Skelton, because when I was a kid, they would let me watch him if I was good, but I had to stand behind the couch because I dropped up and down. I was so excited. And I went to Banff, and there was Margaret Thatcher, Ivana Trump, and there was Red. And I went and sat beside him, and I, after the luncheon, I said, "Could I interview you?" And he said, "No, I'm going back to my room, and I have to rehearse." He did an hour show after dinner, and people were glued to him. "But the next time I come to Toronto, I'll come in your show." And he did. And he did the only 1 hour sit down interview that he ever did.
Wow.
So I've taken that interview, Red, Michael Caine, Omar Sharif. Oh my God, his stories are amazing. Sarah, if you go Dee Dee Petty YouTube, I have a YouTube channel because I own all those shows. And I'm putting up, we're working on putting up Britney Spears 1 month after her big hit come out. So I have, and I do, I have Maya Angelou and Carol Burnett, but they're all beyond Dee Dee Petty YouTube.
Without further ado, here's a clip from the very famous interview between Dee Dee Petty and Red Skelton. Let's roll that clip.
Did you write your letter this morning?
Yes.
Did you?
Yeah, do they know about that?
I don't know. Did you know that every morning this man gets up? At what time do you
get up? Well, my day starts, I'll give it to you real quick. My day starts around 5:30 in the morning. After I shower and shave, I write a love letter to Mrs. Skelton, whether I'm at home or away. And then I do a pencil sketch to illustrate something in the letter. She counted her books the other day, 1,600 pages in each one. She has 310 books just of letter, leather bound. And then after I write the letter, I write five musical selections each day. I have over 18,000 copyrighted musical selection. I've written 64 symphonies. London Philharmonic recorded four of them, and they're going to do more in October, September or October, one of the 2 days. Then I do an outline for a short story each day. On Sunday, I take the best of the seven stories and write a complete story. That way, I have 365 ideas a year to work from and 52 short stories. See, and then I can do whatever I want to during the day. It's about 9:30.
Because then
you got
spare time.
Yeah.
Nothing to do. Yeah. You know.
Then I go out. I do my concerts, and after the concert's over at night, I go back to the hotel. I shower. I lay down and for 1 hour, and boom, without a clock or anything, I wake right up again, and I paint till about 2:30 in the morning.
So how much sleep do you live on?
About 3 hours a night.
You've always...
Yeah, and it doesn't bother me. You know, people always say, "Oh, a couple of times a day I lay down in the gutter and go..."
I didn't... See, I don't think a lot of people know that you have this incredible musical talent. You've written all these pieces. You've written books of poetry. And if you look around the studio, there are some incredibly fine paintings that this man does, wonderful oil paintings, and they're all of clowns. A lot of them are characters I recognize.
Yes, from the show. But I do still lifes, landscapes and stuff. But I don't paint like Van Gogh or Leonardo da Vinci. But what have they painted lately, you know?
So have you figured out what you're going to be when you grow up yet?
No. The reason there was never any publicity about that, when I was on television, all the agents and everybody that are around you, they want to, you know, push what the money's coming in on. So, and I found out a long time ago that people are all, we're all Christopher Columbus. We like to discover things. Now, when people say, I didn't know he did that. Yeah. So then when they tell somebody else, it's more important.
I interviewed Carol Burnett a little while ago, and I wonder, does she know, has she seen this one yet? This is so beautiful. This is one of my favorites.
Well, you know, people walk up and they say, is that Carol Burnett? And I said, yeah, that's Carol Burnett. And they, or they say, is that Mary Tyler Moore? I said, yeah, that's Mary Tyler Moore.
Did you realize he painted a picture of me? Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's me. But you know, when you paint, now people say, we wish you could paint. Anybody can draw. If you can write your name, you can draw, because writing is drawing, you know? And the one artist I always felt sorry for was... Michelangelo.
You felt sorry for Michelangelo?
Yeah, he lay on his back for 17 years, for 7 years, painting that Sistine Chapel, and the Pope came in, and it was finished. He said, that's nice, but we're going to need a second coat.
You know.
And Van Gogh, you know, when he cut his ear off, a lot of people don't know this, he went blind.
When he cut his ear off, he went blind?
Yeah, his hat kept coming down over his eyes.
That clip makes me laugh every time. You can watch all of Deanie's one-on-one interview with Red Skelton by visiting her YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/DeaniePetty. It's just truly such a wonderful interview, full of so many laughs and incredible moments. We're going to go on a short commercial break right now. When we come back, we'll hear more from talk show host and legend Deanie Petty. We'll be right back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hey everyone, we're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio AM 740, and I'm here with legendary talk show host Deanie Petty, and we've been talking about some of the best interviews that she did on the Deanie Petty Show, and there are many of them. But before we hear more about those iconic interviews, I just want to take a moment to give a shout out to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. Thanks to Ashford Cleaners for sponsoring this segment of Finding Your Bliss. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it while always going the extra mile to make sure you leave with a smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship-shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. You're simply the best. I even remember that famous interview between Deanie Petty and Harrison Ford. Deanie and Harrison had such a fun rapport and banter. I've got to share it with you now. Let's roll that clip.
What are you looking for now? Do you know? Do you have a sense of where you want to go next? Are you kind of person?
I have a job starting in, at the end.
I'm sorry. We got to speed
January.
This up.
Yeah. I'm going to do a police film, which I play a New York City uniformed police officer with Brad Pitt and directed by Alan Quatermain. Come out of here. No, really, I can't take this anymore.
Oh, how do you feel working with the younger, handsome hunks now that you're the older, handsome hunk? These here are dancing shoes I'm wearing.
Yeah. Yeah. These are happy feet.
Yeah, I bet they are happy feet.
I'm delighted. There's a crop of young guys coming up that are tremendously talented.
Who do you admire most?
Brad Pitt.
What a coincidence. No, he's in your next film.
I don't have favorites. I really don't. I think there are a number of people who are doing terrific work. That are younger than I am.
You can watch Jeannie's interview with Red Skelton, Harrison Ford, and lots of other guests on The Deanie Petty Show by visiting Deanie's YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/DeaniePetty. It's so fun to go back and watch those interviews from the 80s and 90s, the clothes, the hair, all of it. It's just so much fun. Deanie, is it true that even after your interview with Red Skelton, that the two of you remained close for many years?
Red and I became very close friends.
And your interview with him also won you a very prestigious award.
It won me the Iris Award for Best Foreign Program. A couple of weeks later, on my birthday, there's a guy in the tunnel with a package. No, I have to give this to Deanie Petty. And I said, what's going on in the commercial? Red sent me a print of one of his paintings. And I have a hand letter written from a letter from Red that I will share one day with the public. I read it every Christmas. It brings a tear to my eye. So he's at the O'Keefe Center and I get free tickets from my mom and my aunt and my dad. We're sitting there. And at the end of his performance, he said a woman in the front row asked a question. Then he says to the audience, I asked a friend of mine to come here. Deanie Petty, are you here? My mother's like, get up. So I stand up in the O'Keefe Center and the spotlight finds me and Red yells from the stage, what was the name of that award we won? I said, it was the Iris Award because you were so amazing. And Red Skelton stood on that stage and told people, no, that wasn't true. The reason we had won is because I was so amazing. And that tells you exactly the kind of man that Red Skelton was.
Wow.
Is.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Oh, what a lovely, thank you for sharing that. What a lovely, lovely story. Deanie, I just want to share with our listeners what Trailblazing Talks is all about. Let's roll that clip.
At 80 years of age, I'm back. We want your life. Tanya Williams.
Going to Los Angeles and seeing the power that people of color had there and how they empowered other people of color with that power.
Marnie McBean is a 3-time Olympic gold medalist.
You have me double crying now.
Have you written a book yet, Deanie?
I'm an 80-year-old carrying 2 cases of beer. Next life, no kids. I'm keeping the money.
You know, I have to ask you, 5 years ago, you were on the show. We did a whole retrospective on your career. As I mentioned, we were at Zoomer, Plex, and Liberty Village, blah, blah, blah. What happened between then and now, that 5 years, to bring about this exciting brand new television series, Deanie Petty, back on the air at age 80, your brand new series, Trailblazing Talks. How did this all come to be?
It's all Kate's fault. I was to do my new one-woman show, and I was working with some people, and people like Kate bought a ticket. And the producers were not as organized as one had hoped, and the show was canceled. And Kate got angry. And I'd already done a small role in her extraordinary film called Boundless. And she said, you know what? Blah, blah. And the next thing I know, Kate said, okay, we're going to do a television show and you're going to interview people. You want to do it? And I went, yeah. Aww. And here I am. I'm 80 years old. When I was 23, someone said, you want to fly a pink helicopter? Yeah. I'm 80. Someone said, you want to go back and interview people? I'm like, yeah. Always say yes or yeah, you know, whatever's most convenient.
I love that you said that on Finding Your Bliss. Always say yes. And you are so right. That is such great advice. And Jordan Schwartz must be beaming. And I know he did see some of this recently. And because he was your producer for many years, of course, at the Deanie Petty Show. What is Jordan? Have you talked to him? What has he said about all of this?
I just saw Jordan. I went down to Global and did a bit on their morning show. And Jordan and Morley and I They both worked on my show. And we had lunch, and when I saw him, we just like fell into each other's arms. I've stayed close. The guy who directed my entire career left City TV to go with me. My entire career is Randy Gulliver. And Heather Ryle was my executive producer all the time at City and went with me to CFTO. And then she left in the, and then Jordan took over. And Randy and Heather and I and Linus, the lighting guy, we still play euchre online occasionally on Friday nights. I don't know if Jordan plays euchre. I have to ask him.
Bring him in. So, bring him in.
When you find good people, keep them in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so true. I also, this is going to sound like a superficial question, but I always remembered when I did your show many moons ago at CFTO TV, how independent you were and how I think you're one of the only most famous national television talk show hosts that did your own makeup. And you once said to me, I learned a little bit from this makeup artist and that makeup artist and this makeup artist, put it all together and do my own makeup. So the question is, do you still do it or do you have a makeup artist these days?
No, the truth of the story is one of, you know, I said you keep good people in your life. Corby Banner was the photographer who came and photographed all our stars and a brilliant makeup artist. And Corby spent a lot of time teaching me how to do my face. So when Corby couldn't do it, I would do it myself.
Wow.
And to this day, we're still friends. And I went up and he did some photos a little while ago and he's been watching Trailblazing Talks and his comment was, I like the makeup because I do have a makeup. And he said, you tell her she's good and also tell the lighting people they're good. So when Corby says good,
wow,
you know you're really good.
I love that.
You know what? Can I interject?
Yes.
About all say yes? I think say yes to opportunities, but don't always say yes. Because let people earn your respect and trust. Don't give it away.
Yes.
And we do that too often. Spoke the woman who's had four marriages. Don't always say yes.
Don't always say yes. Say what? Yes to your career stuff, but don't say yes to every guy. Okay.
Yeah,
you got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. You know, Deanie, I just remember people saying about you that you were the girl next door on camera. You're just someone that everybody could relate to. Likeable, lovable, easy to take, very intelligent, ask great questions, got it. You just get it. But you're also the girl next door. People just want to talk to you and want to tell you everything. And that's never changed. Mm. To what do you attribute to your incredible and success, your longevity as a national television talk show host for all of these years? Because this has gone through so many permutations and computations. And here you are at 80. Like, I love that when you go, I'm back and I'm 80 and I'm still doing it. What do you attribute to, you know, and I know it's hard to talk about yourself, but just how would you describe it?
My longevity, I am 80. I take no medication. I go to the gym 3 times a week, and I've done that since I was 18. And I don't know why. When I was 18, the Air Force had the 5BX and the 10BX plan, and I got out of bed every morning and did it. I had been active my whole life. And I say that, and I haven't been to the gym recently because I did something to my shoulder, so I'm waiting for it to heal. But you got to use this thing, folks.
Yeah.
You got to. And walking, if you're not going to go to the gym,
yes,
walk. Walking is one of the best things you can do. I've always, and I've been into alternative health since my early 20s. So you name it, I've done it. And I take good care of myself. And why do people like me? Oh, God. I don't know. Why do people like me? If you leave me alone by myself, I'm happy. In my natural state, I'm a very happy person. And I don't know, maybe people pick up on that. I don't know. And my extraordinary education, I got thrown out of every high school I went to for talking. No one mentioned it could be a career move.
It could be a career move. It's a good thing. It was a good thing.
When I was 15, I got thrown out of North Toronto by the vice principal who was tired of my being thrown down to the office for talking. He chased me out of the school down to Yonge Street, screaming at me, "You're no good, Petty. You're no good. You're going to end up a whore on Jarvis Street, Petty." I was 15. But revenge is best served cold. When I was on City TV, I was selling a dining room set. And it was really nice, antique. And a woman called one Saturday morning and said, "You know, it sounds really interesting, but give me your name and let me think." And as soon as I said Deanie Petty, she went into quick speak. Are you the one that flew the helicopter and is on City TV? I said, yeah. She said, "What's your address?" I told her. She said, I am 15 minutes away. I've got to see you. I've got to talk to you. It's really important. I said, okay. 10, 15 minutes later, there's a knock on my door. This woman comes in. Girl, I'm just so happy I get to tell you the story. My uncle has passed away, but I don't know if you remember him. He was the vice principal of North Toronto.
Oh, my God.
And I said, well, yes, I do. Why? Oh, Deanie, do you remember when you flew Santa Claus in down to Cherry Beach? I said, yes. Well, he went to watch you. And when you started on television, he watched you every day. And you know what he always said? I said, no. What did he say? I always knew that girl was going to be successful. And I used to tell her that all the time. She left. I looked heavenward, giving two fingers up, and said, not bad for a whore on Jarvis Street, eh, Mr. Ellison? Revenge is best served cold.
So
if you're
true.
In the business, and I say this, I like to talk to kids in high school, the things that I wish somebody had told me in high school. You know, the most important element is not so much intelligence as it is emotional IQ. Because no matter what level of society you go at, no matter how many dollars signs they have behind their name, the thing is, human nature at every single level of life is exactly the same.
Yes.
So if you can spot the liars, and there's always somebody with, you know, loose hands, if you can figure out that with emotional intelligence, that's going to serve you a lot.
Totally.
Because I have been tricked, lied to, and ripped off more times than I can recall. So that's what I said. It's so critical to have that skill.
Yeah. And you do. You've got that. And much more. And much, much more.
Later in life, I learned it.
I've been watching all of the episodes, and I'm just loving them, including last night. And I loved your interview with soap opera star of The Young and the Restless, Tanya Williams, who was one of your first guests on Trailblazing Talks. Let's all have a listen to a sneak peek of that amazing interview on Trailblazing Talks with Tanya Williams, who you'll all remember as one of the stars of The Young and the Restless.
And how long before you go to an audition for the YNR and they go, hey, you got the job?
So before that, there's a couple of things. So I, in a short period of time, I booked this one TV commercial. You got to love America about stuff like this. I booked one national spot, which was for AT&T, which got sliced into seven national commercials. Just the part. And all I say is like, thank you for using AT&T. And they put that on seven commercials. So for 2 years, I made more money than I've ever made working all the time. So I kind of sat back and went, you know, if I don't get these auditions, okay, because my rent and everything was getting paid from this 1-7 commercials. Then there was an audition for The Price is Right.
Oh, wow.
They need a filler. So like you know, get down there, whatever. I was in a bathing suit and I was like, the car, the this, the that. And I did that for no more than maybe a week. But I had gone also to audition for this some show called The Young and the Restless I'd never heard of. They actually saw me I didn't know that was the same building even. They saw me doing this thing at the same time. But in what you said in your opening, it's like a series of things happen. You're sitting in this place having a meal while two guys over there are talking about, these things just happen.
And I love in that interview with Tanya, how you ricochet from her then and now, including earlier clips of her as a much younger woman as a guest on the Deanie Petty Show. I love that incredible clip of you wearing the Farrah Fawcett brunette wig, which, by the way, you thought it looked awful. I thought it looked great. I thought that looked so good. And I just couldn't get over that interview. What was it like to pick up with Tanya Williams all these years later, meet up with her, you know, again, to do it all over again in this new configuration?
But look at what she's done. Tanya Williams is exceptional because besides being an extremely successful actress in The Young and Restless forever, she realized when she lived in Canada that, you know, that people of color were not being, you know, there were so few getting roles and their work wasn't being honored. So she went and started this amazing festival, and it's now 25 years in the making. And it's extraordinary what she's done. And she's so, I think the thing that got me the most is she's just so down to earth and real. There's not, you know, it's not like, I'm a movie star. Most of the people I met and interviewed, though, were real. Most of the, I remember when I went to Michael Bolton's house for an interview, and he has two houses. One's his recording studio. And Michael was standing in the front hall and he said, geez, I remember standing here. He said, I didn't know if I was going to be able to keep this house. I mean, for months it was these, anybody who's made it, except, you know, the instant successes, which are so few, has worked hard and struggled and, yes, and gone through a lot and put up with a lot. So most of the people I interviewed were good people who paid their dues many times over.
That's right. I remember Rita Rudner, the comedian, once said to me, it's taken me 25 years to become an overnight sensation. You know, a lot of baby steps, right? A lot of hard work and elbow grease too. Where do you film trailblazing talks? I noticed some of the interviews are live in a studio, much like the original Dini Pedi show. Sometimes you interview people via satellite, which gives you access to everyone all over the world. And I love that the set everyone has headshots from the past and photos from your past as part of the set. Is there a studio audience? Is it live or live to tape? Can you tell us more about how it happens?
We do it in St. Catharines. We work with the News Forum. And the show is on Monday nights if you have cable. And if you go to the newsforum.ca, you can watch it on your computer, Trailblazing Talks. Or they'll tell you what cable it's on. So you can watch it either at home on cable or you can watch it on your computer. They're very kind people. And it's a joy to work with them. And like Corby says, the lighting's excellent, the makeup's excellent, the guests are amazing.
So fantastic. So we talked at the beginning in the virtual green room, Deanie, about the fact that a sister-in-law saw you recently and said, I'm telling you, that woman has not aged. She does not look a day over 40. And I don't know if it's just fabulous lighting, but I'm looking at you here just on a virtual on Riverside. But my God, you look fantastic. What's your secret? Can you share?
Yeah, I have two. One, when I was in my 40s, I had Dr. Sandy Pritchard on my show, one of Canada's leading plastic surgeons who unfortunately is no longer with us.
Yeah.
And Sandy said to me one day, what about a facelift? I said, Sandy, I can't afford that. He said, oh no, for you, it's a gift. I said, I'm in. So I had a facelift in my 40s. But for the last over 22 years, I've been doing EsoJ. Now, it's a machine developed in Italy. Huh. The name is Vital Beauty Products. If you want to call and talk to Alwyn Hyros, it's a Welsh name. There are 25 muscles in each side of your face. I work out my body. So there are two rods and she knows where every muscle is and she works out one side of your face and the rods go at each end of the muscle. And when she puts a little current through, it literally works out your muscle. And she does the side of my face twice and then does the other side. Once I hadn't been to see her for a long time, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and she did this side twice and held up the mirror and I went, oh, wow. Because I now have muscle memory. So my face, when I go and do it, it's like, so if you're going to work out your body, work out your face. And I never done anything else. I don't do any Botox or I don't do any injections. I just go see Alwyn Hyros and Vital Beauty Products and I'm going to keep doing it.
Well, you look absolutely terrific. I know you talked about exercise. Do you do any yoga or meditation, anything like that?
Yes, I do Kundalini yoga, Gurmukh.
Nice.
I hope to get to interview her. I'd like to thank her. My daughter about, oh my gosh, 20 years ago gave me her CD and now it's online. And I've been doing the same one. And people say, well, why don't you do a different one? I say, because I know every word the woman's going to say, so I can focus on my breathing. So I do the yoga, and I used to do swimming, but swimming, you know, you have to shower and then get in, and you shower and get out.
And the hair, and yeah. Okay, yeah.
So I do a 45-minute workout at the gym, which starts with 20 minutes on the rowing machine, which I've named the McBean after interviewing Marnie McBean, and then the elliptical glider for 5, so that's my 25 cardio. And then I do about 20 minutes or so on the weight.
Oh, that's so fun. So you're so inspiring, Deanie. You know, as you're picking up those pretend 2 cases of beer in the Marnie McBean interview, everyone, you've got to watch this one. And you're doing it more gracefully than most 20-year-olds, you know. It's just that, do you think it's partly genetics? Or is it this 3 days a week of working out and the walking and all the things that you're doing?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, I obviously, you know, because I take no medication. My genetics have been really excellent. And I've been into an alternative health. I take supplements. I work out. I make sure I drink enough water because that's my biggest issue. So many of us are dehydrated. It's ridiculous. So I don't know why I've done this my whole life. It's just the way I am. And I am a very lucky woman.
Isn't that wonderful? We're going to go on a short commercial break right now. When we come back, we'll talk more with Canadian TV legend Dini Petty about her new series, Trailblazing Talks. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio AM 740, and I'm here with the legendary Dini Petty, and we've been talking about her incredible career and her fabulous new show, Trailblazing Talks. Dini, you're interviewing some fascinating guests on Trailblazing Talks. How do you choose your guests, and do you have any exciting guests that are coming up, or a wish list of someone that you'd love to interview?
Well, as I said, I'd love to interview Gurmukh, and hopefully that's on the agenda. Yeah, no, that Kate comes up with ideas. I mean, Kate's extraordinary. She's not only a singer and an actress, but she's a writer. And this movie, Boundless, is amazing. It's a story of during the Second World War, when the U.S. went into production of airplanes, rather than bringing the men back, the U.S. military put a bunch of women together, pilots, who would fly the planes from the factories. Now, I have a license to fly a Hughes 300 helicopter. You get a license to fly one kind of airplane. These women flew all kinds of them. They were extraordinary. When they were finished, the military told them they couldn't fly for the military and they couldn't fly for commercial, and their files were closed. Wow. Until one of the presidents acknowledged that, yes, they were veterans, and Barack Obama gave them a Medal of Honor. And Kate has written the story. It's called Boundless. And it all came about because her grandmother is a pilot.
Yes. And you both. And so this is the coolest thing, is that when you were flying that pink helicopter out of Buttonville Airport, her grandmother was also flying out of Buttonville Airport. So there was this connection. Can you say more about that? Because I found that so cool.
Well, Kate came to me and told me the story of Boundless. And of all the women there, the U.S. would not hire any women of color. They had one Indigenous woman, one Asian woman, and one Canadian who had dual citizenship. Wow. And I played the Canadian woman. And Kate was sitting here and she said, you know, my grandmother flew out of Buttonville and she used to tell me about the girl in the pink helicopter. And I said, my God, Kate, the circle is complete. Wherever your grandmother is, she's smiling.
Oh, my goodness. That is the best. That film is so powerful, Dini. It's a short film, everyone, and I encourage you all to get a look at it. And I think we're going to be talking to Kate, so we're going to find out all about how people can access it. But it's just absolutely wonderful. And you're in it. There you are. And I'm like, oh my God, Dini's in it. There's all this wonderful crossover. But it was very poignant and very emotional and just incredible. Like, just incredible. It's won all these awards. I'm not surprised at all by it. There's a question that we ask each guest at the end of the show, and I know I've asked you this before, but what is bliss these days for Dini Petty?
Oh, wow. The first thing I thought of, isn't that crazy? Getting up and having a good breakfast and going to work out at the gym, and then having dinner with a dear friend and a really good night's sleep. I mean, honestly, if you just leave me alone, I learned this when I was in a snowsuit, living in Ottawa. We were out playing and all my friends went away and I lay on the ground and I looked up at those big fat snowflakes falling very softly. And I didn't realize it then, but I focused on one and then another. It was my first Zen moment. If you leave me alone all by myself, I'm very happy with me.
Isn't that incredible? What do you love? What do you? I know you've done it all also. You've done the one-woman show. You've been an actor. But you are really a stellar interviewer. What do you love about doing it?
Oh, please. It's the education I didn't get after being thrown out of every high school. I mean, I've talked to some of the world's most extraordinary people. I way early in my career, I went in to interview a man at Citi named Dr. Hans Selye. And he was a very, not a tall man, a petite man. But I went into the room and it was so calm. He's the father of stress. He's the first guy that said stress will kill you. And then I interviewed the father of vitamin C, who said, the people are taking vitamin C all wrong. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you don't take a bunch of it. You take it, it goes to your system in like, you know, 90 minutes. Take it three times a day. So along the way, I've met the most extraordinary, I don't know why I thought of Mary Kay. What a wonderful interview, Mary Kay. What an extraordinary life. We actually did it down at the John Bassett Theater. My God, the place was packed. Part of the interview, her husband left her while she was at the kitchen table thinking of starting this business. He left her with the kids. And I said to her, did he ever come back? She said, well, funny you mentioned that, Deanie. About 2 or 3 years later, when the business started to do really well, there was a little knock on my door. And I said, so what did you say? I just smiled and said, thank you very much. I'm busy. You closed the door. You know, extraordinary lives that people have had and the privilege of hearing them. But I have to tell you my last thing, the person who made me a great interviewer, the first one was Phyllis Diller. And when Phyllis did it, I didn't get it. And the second person who did it was Leonard Cohen. And when Leonard did it, I realized what the hell they were doing. And when I turned and looked at Leonard Cohen, I had 100% of his attention. He was there. Most times people, when you're in conversation with people, and you know this, when you go to some big event and somebody's looking over your shoulder to see who they should talk to, someone's telling a story and people are thinking, oh my God, I have to tell my stories. They're not there. So I would sometimes interview people who, you know, they were thinking about this. But Leonard Cohen did just what Phyllis Diller did. He was there. I had 100% of his attention. And I went, that's the key. So when I interviewed people, I crossed this line in the studio, went in, my life was behind me. And when I sat down with them, I was there for them. And it's so unusual that people, I've been thanked several times just because I was there. 100%.
You are, and you continue to be. And I've got to tell you, it's an absolute honor to have had you on again. And I'm so proud of you and excited about your series, which is great. It's great. It's greater than ever. And I encourage everyone to watch Trailblazing Talks. I know Kate, the producer, will talk more about it, but just generally, how can people access this series?
Go to the newsforum.ca and that'll tell you where to get it. And by the way, I've been in this long and you're still here and you're doing really well. Bravo.
Thank you.
Do you tell your age?
Yes, I'm 65.
You look 40.
You're the best. You just made my day, week, and year. Deanie, best way for people to contact you, to get in touch with you, follow you on social media, all the rest.
Yeah, you can go to Facebook. Just go to Deanie Petty. I literally have a fan page. Or you can go to DeaniePetty.com. And that's my website.
I love that.
Or Deanie Petty YouTube. Or, you know, pass me on the street and go, I know you.
Essentially, it's Deanie Petty everywhere. You are amazing. God bless you. And thank you so much for this lovely conversation. And we're going to be talking to your producer next. Thank you, Deanie.
From one successful woman to another successful woman. So lovely to see you again. And brava, my friend.
I learned it all from you. Thank you. Each week, we spotlight a fabulous person like Deanie Petty, who's living their bliss. So if you are an actor, author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you. We also love to feature singer-songwriters on the show. So if you're a singer, please reach out to us. Also, what did you love about today's program? Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and find your passion and purpose. Just reach out to me at findingyourbliss.com/coaching, or you can DM me on Instagram at The Bliss Minute. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app, and all you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack, and of course, You can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. In Bliss News this week, we wanted to share how you can watch Trailblazing Talks. It's truly a fabulous series, and all of the guests have been so fascinating. You can watch Trailblazing Talks by visiting www.thenewsforum.ca/series/Trailblazing Talks, or on the following TV channels: Bell Satellite, that's channel 506, Rogers, that's channel 107, Shaw Direct, channel 253, or TELUS, channel 842. Also coming up next week is part two of the Trailblazing Talks interview, and that's our interview with the executive producer, Kate Campbell. So in addition to being the executive producer on Deanie's fabulous new show, Kate is also an actress, writer, musician, filmmaker, and a pilot too. I would like to thank our wonderful guest, Deanie Petty, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Chelsea Lockstedt, Eva Shabatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannisiello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our official sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. Also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. And as well, thank you to Garrett Florist, our studio florist, for the beautiful pink roses that adorn our set each week. And a Bliss coaching tip of the week for you all. As a postscript to this show, I just wanted to say that I've always been impressed by Deanie Petty from the moment I met her on set at CFTO TV. She's always been like the girl next door, Canada's Oprah Winfrey, the legendary talk show host and wonderful person. You know, Deanie is just likable, lovable, and she really is the real deal. The other really cool part about her story is that she's reinvented herself now at age 80. She's never looked better. And when I see her doing these interviews, she's lit up like a Christmas tree. Her eyes are lit with animation because this is where she belongs. Interviewing people on camera, connecting and being right in her purpose and on purpose. And what I love about all of this for our audience is this wonderful reminder and permission that it's never too late to sing, to dance, to write that book, to host that talk show, or to star on Broadway. Colonel Sanders began his career at age 65. Morgan Freeman got his big break at age 50 in the film Street Smart. Betty White enjoyed and experienced a major resurgence in her 80s, and she even hosted Saturday Night Live at age 90. Jane Fonda had a huge TV and film comeback at age 70 and beyond. And you have to love Jennifer Coolidge, who had a major career renaissance in her 60s, winning Emmy Awards and Golden Globe Awards too. It's never too late, and I really believe that dreams have no expiration date. So take that step. Make that call, step outside of your comfort zone, and do that thing that you've always wanted to do. I will be here cheering you on every step of the way. I'll leave you with two quotes. The first one is from Dale Turner. Dreams are renewable. No matter your age or condition, there are still untapped possibilities within us and new beauty waiting to be born. Or as Marsha Petry Sue says, every day is a new beginning. Treat it that way. Stay away from what might have been and look at what can be. For Finding Your Bliss, I'm Judy Lee Brack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.